Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Haunt Talk. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about Halloween Horror Nights 31. Now, I know that these aren't always the most popular videos, because some people only want to see the stuff that's in Ohio, but I do implore you to, if you ever are able to make the trip.
Yes.
We've been going every year that they've had it since 2018, so that, of course, excludes 2020, because they did not have it that year. This is our fourth year, right? 2018, 2019, 20... Yeah, so this is where our fourth year going. So before, we've done, like, separate videos for the houses and the scare zones. If you're unaware, there are 10 haunted houses and 5 scare zones. We're just going to be kind of talking about all of them in one video. So we're going to be ranking our favorite houses and scare zones in this video. From our least favorite to our most favorite, of course. It's less specific for the scare zones, but we thought about doing 2 separate lists for each of us, but we pretty much kind of agreed for the most part on the house list, because, like, honestly, there's a clear loser in our opinion, and then, like, 2 clear winners, but everything else was pretty solid this year, so.
Yeah,
most of everything was pretty good this year. Before we begin doing our little list, make sure, if you haven't yet, that you subscribe to the channel. Also, we have our Patreon. You can check that out. And we also have a thing called Super Thanks, which you can do. That helps us out a lot. It's basically like giving us a tip. And we want to give a big thank you for the Super Thanks for I'm a Viking and ZG for recently giving us a couple Super Thanks on our last video that we did, which was 100 attractions, likes, and dislikes. So we greatly appreciate it. It's a good way to help us. And like I said, we also have a Patreon if you want to do a monthly thing, but if you just want to kind of do a one-time-like thing, that's how you do that, and it is greatly appreciated.
Yes.
We also have a merch store, so if you want to check that out, we have shirts with our Skullbob logo on it. So if you want to check that out, all the links for all of the stuff I've talked about is going to be in the bottom, including our social media and all that. Like, if you want to message us and stuff like that, too, Facebook is usually what I recommend. We also have our email and website on there. But that being said, we'll go ahead and kick off, I guess, our list for our Halloween Horror Nights house list.
All right. So, again, there were 10 houses this year. So we're going to start at number 10 and go down to number 1. Our number 10 house is Hell Block Horror.
Mm-hmm. So I think we went into expecting this one to be, honest, expecting this one to be our least favorite.
It was very, like, almost kind of, like, too generic. Like, your basic haunted jail kind of thing. The only spin they did was that this jail housed monsters.
Yeah.
Of, like, every kind. Like, aliens, underground monsters, everything. And there was basically a big, you know, they're all trying to escape. And we have to get to the center of the jail in order to ignite a bomb and just destroy the jail so that these monsters don't get out and wreak havoc. Originally, this house was actually supposed to be Evil Dead, which was probably going to be considerably better. But unfortunately, something happened with the rights to getting Evil Dead. And at the last minute, the creators had to kind of, like, come up with another idea. So this is what they did.
Yeah, it was very, I mean, if you've been to any haunt that has a jail theme or, like, an actual haunt in a prison like we have around here, there's a couple of them. It's very much like that. But yeah, it just kind of felt uninspired. There wasn't many actors in this one. Yeah. There's a lot of areas that were very clearly, there weren't actors. And it almost felt like, because most of the houses did have a good amount of actors, and I feel like this was the house where it's like, oh, we need an actor in this house. Take him out of Hellblock. Like, I don't know. I just wasn't a big fan of this one. Yeah. So that's why it was last place. Yeah, nothing about it felt inspired or unique.
And it was a lot of, there wasn't a lot of makeup going on. It was a lot of masks.
A lot of, like, poor masks.
Yeah, and it was like just very, like, very basic, like, just generic haunted house.
Yep, exactly. So that brings us to our number 9 spot. Now, I did like this haunt, but looking at the other ones, it still was my least favorite after Hellblock Horror, which is Spirits of the Coven. So this one was, like, set in the 50s, right? Was it 50s?
No, this one was the one that's in the 1920s.
Oh, this one is 1920s.
Because you're actually going into 50s. A speakeasy.
That's right, yeah, the speakeasy.
That happens to be run by witches.
Flapper witches, right?
Yeah.
Whatever, I don't even know what a flap, that's like that type of...
Yeah, it's just basically like a lifestyle, I guess you could say, from the 20s.
So I've seen people complaining online that, like, where are the witches at? Well, that's the thing, is they're not traditional witches. Which, to be honest, I would have liked better, I think, if that was. Because the whole theme this year for HHN 31 was that since 31... The 31st is Halloween, then everything's Halloween-themed. Mm-hmm. I would have liked it a little bit that this one is kind of more traditional witches. I think that would have been fun.
Yeah,
but instead, like, it was this. No, I mean, it did have some cool sets. And I heard other people complaining about this, there were a little bit more black hallways than other haunts. But it did feel like you're in a speakeasy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of looking forward to this because I wanted to see what they would do with it because it was, you know, it was supposed to be, you know, witches in like a modern setting kind of thing. And they did have people actually with like the witch faces and stuff like that, but they were dressed in like 1920s outfits, which was kind of fun.
And it was unique. I've never seen anything like this before.
Mm-hmm. Overall, I thought it was, again, it was kind of like... Not a lot of actors.
Yeah, definitely had...
A lot of dead space.
Yeah, the least amount after Hellblock. Still had quite a bit more, I feel like, than Hellblock when we went through, but...
Yeah.
Didn't really get many good scares in it. Overall, it was just a little bit lackluster. Not a terrible house. Like I said, there are still some cool things. It's hard to remember everything when you go through 10 haunted houses. Because we did the RIP tour as well. Mm-hmm. And... We did everything in like, it was like 2.5, 3 hours. Cause what? We ended at like 11:30 and we started around 8. So, no, 2 and 11. So, yeah, about 3. Okay, well, I guess 3.5 hours. But it felt like it went by like really fast. Mm-hmm. Because like, we even had time to watch the Lagoon show, which typically you don't get unless you do a private RIP tour.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was okay. Like I said, Spirits of the Coven, it was okay. It wasn't awful, but. Just not as good as the other 8 in front of it.
All right, so that moves us on to number 8, and that was the Horrors of Blumhouse. Blumhouse has usually had some sort of a haunt at HHN for some, you know, whatever movie they have that's recent and stuff. This one actually was a 2-for-1.
Yeah. Which is the reason it's lower.
Yes. It was the movie Freaky, which was a horror take on, like, the Freaky Friday movies where, you know, like mom and daughter switch places. But this time it's a teenager and a serial killer.
Neither of us have seen Freaky. Yeah. And the second one was The Black Phone.
Yes.
Which, yeah, if you haven't seen that, I guess go watch it, but it's really good. I do want to watch Freaky. I've heard it's not the best, but... I should have watched it before we went, but I just kind of forgot about it, to be honest.
I did, too.
Freaky, it wasn't terrible, but it was definitely weaker. It wasn't very scary. There wasn't a lot of actors in it. And it's actually kind of interesting, because this one had two facades. Like, they weren't great facades, but there was one for Freaky. Then you waited in another, like, small itty-bitty line to get into The Black Phone.
Yeah.
Which was also, like, outside. Because this was the first year they've put something in the Fast and Furious queue, I do believe.
Yes.
They used to have haunts, I think, there when it was, whatever was there before. Was it Earthquake that was there?
I believe that was where Earthquake was, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple things that used to be in the Fast and Furious.
But, because this year they didn't have access to the Shrek Theater, where they usually put a haunted house, because they are currently changing it into possibly something Minion.
More than likely Minions or something. I don't know. Yeah, probably. I don't know. But, so The Black Phone was really good, though. We really enjoyed the Black Phone half of it. It was also probably one of the scariest haunts.
Yeah.
The Black Phone section specifically. Yeah. It was a lot of darkness. Mm-hmm. Like, very... It was just creepy. I mean, the movie, it's creepy anyways. I mean, it's literally about a guy who abducts children and, you know, does bad things.
And the way they did, like, the way they set up the house, it was like... You kept changing directions. I noticed that. It was like you would head down, and then all of a sudden you'd just turn, and then you would turn again. And it was just like, it was so zigzagged, and it was very disorientating, I thought. I was really like, at one point, I'm like, which way do I go now? Like, yeah. It was kind of strange.
And they were just
like
kind of popping at it everywhere. Yeah. So, yeah, the black phone section is really good. Freaky was just kind of eh.
Yeah.
The freaky part wasn't bad, but it was a little bit more mediocre. But, yeah. So, definitely don't skip this house because the second half is really good.
Yes. All right. So, that brings us to number 7, which is Fiesta de Chupacabra. This one, it was kind of a unique idea. It's basically you go to this Latin American village. Everything is in Spanish.
Right. Everyone speaks in Spanish.
Everyone speaks in Spanish. The signs are in Spanish. Everything is in Spanish,
and
which is
yeah. And it's kind of like you think you're, like you as the visitor, think you're invited to a party, but the visitors are really inviting you to sacrifice you to give your blood to the chupacabra so that the chupacabra doesn't eat them.
Yes. So it was actually really, I thought it was kind of an interesting idea. A really cool concept and stuff like that. Everybody had like these really cool masks, like that were supposed to be like homemade masks of the chupacabra and stuff like that. And they were like, you know, just attacking you from every corner with these masks and stuff. And I liked the idea of it being like solely themed into the Latin American Spanish yeah. thing and stuff like that. I thought that was
I really did like the theming of it. The chupacabra was a little bit silly looking because yeah. there's a lot of puppets. They're not real scary, and I've seen people talk about this as well where people are like, I just wanted to take him home with me.
He was kind of cute.
Yeah, this house wasn't one of the scariest, but I did like the theming. It did have quite a few cool set pieces and stuff mm-hmm. walking through the streets of, you know, what was it in it was Mexico, was that where?
I think they weren't, like, specific. Our tour guide said, like, Latin America.
Yeah, but so. It felt very, you know, much, much like that. And, you know, there's all the Day of the Dead stuff, like, the bar and that. So it's kind yeah. of, like, I think that's kind of, like, the vibe that they were going for yeah. with this house. Yeah, really cool, but just wasn't one of the scariest ones, mm-hmm. which is why it's a little bit lower on the list. But I did really like the theming, and I did, even though the chupacabra wasn't super scary, I liked that there was a bunch of, like, puppets and, like,
yeah.
animatronic derpy chupacabra things. So, and a lot of people said they kind of look like a saber tooth, and I'm like, yeah, it kind of did look a little
yeah,
bit like a saber tooth.
Okay, yeah, it did look like a saber tooth, because, I mean, there's a lot of different variations of what people think the chupacabra looks like. Right. A lot of people think it looks like a dog, it looks like
a
wolf.
I think that's the most common one.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, they just kind of made up their own little thing and was like, looks like a saber-toothed tiger. Sure.
Alright, so now on to number 6. And then I think after this we'll talk about the scare zones and then yeah. continue the rest of the houses since we're halfway through. So number 6, we gave to Halloween. So they've done, this is to the original Halloween film, so none of like the new ones, the original 1978 is when it came yes. out, right? 78 one. Now this is, they've done this specific one before, this actual, the first Halloween, but this is the first time they put it in a soundstage.
Yes, and they said they changed up some stuff. They like did a little bit of different like scenes and stuff like that, like... I'm not spoiling anything if you've seen the movie Halloween, but they actually did include the scene where Michael kills his sister when he was a little kid, which was kind of disturbing because HHN does use kids for actors. And it was kind of like strange to see, you know, I mean, he was a kid. It was interesting. It did feel like you were in the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good set pieces. You yeah. get to, like, walk outside the house of a part where you're kind of walking through, like, sheets. Like,
yes,
they have, like,
the sheets, the
there's
laundry.
That iconic scene where mm-hmm. he's, like, standing outside behind one.
Yeah.
Only she looks out the window.
And shout out to whoever found the actor to play Dr. Loomis. My goodness, he looks exactly like the original actor. It was amazing. I was really shocked when he came around the corner. I was like,
yeah,
okay.
It felt very authentic to the
yes.
film.
Yeah,
there was like a section that I was kind of like a little mirror maze almost though in the house, which I did find a little bit strange. But I forget exactly where it was, but there was like a section where you're...
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, when you do 10 haunted houses in under, you know, 4 hours, it's like things blur together a little bit. But yeah, overall, it was a good house. It's pretty much exactly what you'd expect. I've seen some people saying it's the scariest house they've been through this year. So I don't feel like we got that many scares. Mm-hmm. That's why it is good. If we only did one night of Horror Nights and did the RIP. We want to next year do another night because... Sometimes you just get bad runs through houses when they run them like this because it's a conga line type of situation. So sometimes people in front of you get the scares and the people in the back, and you might only get one scare for a haunt, but then you might go through it again and you get all the scares. So, you know, that's why these haunts are good to go through multiple times. But if you don't have Express Pass or RIP, though, like one haunts, like the bigger ones are 45 minutes to 2 hours.
Right.
So I highly recommend doing one of those two things, Express or RIP, if you go. But now we'll kind of talk about scare zones. We're not going to talk about these a ton.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Number five, we put Conjure the Dark. It was our least favorite. It was kind of themed to witches.
Yeah. It was more like, I actually was listening to the, they had like a voiceover kind of thing going on because there was like a stage with some witches doing some stuff and she actually was talking about it and they seemed to be like almost like medieval or Viking like witches, and they basically came up with the idea of Halloween because they want to get these this blood sacrifice, and they figure if we do a celebration we can grab a lot of people, get a lot of blood, and bring back all these monsters and stuff like that. And she even says like we're going to do it every year so we get more powerful and stuff like that. It was neat. It's always in... They always seem to put, like, the most, like, loudest one in this one little tiny area that's over there by,
Fast and Furious.
And it's, like...
Yeah, it's always congested there.
It's
a bottleneck.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Yeah,
and it always is that way. So it was kind of cool, but just not my favorite kind of theming. Yeah. Number four, we gave to the Horrors of Halloween. Now, this is, the one that, like, it's always the smallest one. It's right when you walk into the park. Mm-hmm. It's the first one you see. It was really cool. The theming was really cool. It was the Pumpkin Lord who kind of became an icon. I guess he's still an unofficial icon, but he literally greets everyone as they walk into the park. I keep calling him the Pumpkin Grinch because he kind of looks like the Grinch. But he has a whole little spiel he goes through and stuff. And then inside is basically just an archway of pumpkins, and there's little scenes of, like, each of the different scare zones throughout the park.
Yeah.
And, like, they have his, like, thorns going up over. And one thing I told Kim would have been a really cool idea since, like, he's supposed to be taking over the event in each scare zone, if there would have been some of his vines coming up somewhere in each scare zone to kind of tie it all back to that one. I feel like that was a missed opportunity because that's kind of what they were going for, I feel like.
Right. Like, they had, like, some projections on walls and stuff like that, but I think if they had actually gone and put the vines in the scare zones, it probably would have put that theming more forward.
But this is probably my favorite since we've been going opening scare zone just because of how cool looking it was. Because, like I said, the reason it's number four is because it's always small, so there's not much there, but it is a beautiful... You walk in and you see that archway with Halloween Horror Nights above and the Pumpkin Lord. It's a real cool entry into the park.
Yeah. So the next one is Scarecrow Cursed Soil. So this is actually a sequel to a previous Scarezoza that they had with scarecrows, which I think was called, like, the Reaping or something like that.
Well, was it a house or a scare zone originally? I thought it was a... I think it was a house. I'm pretty sure that was a house originally. Okay. So this is, like, a sequel to the house. It was really cool. This part's always also really congested because it is just, like, there's nowhere else to go besides, like, down the path. But I like this one. I do miss when they put, like, the pumpkins up in the trees and stuff. Now there's just lanterns, so it's not as pretty as before. But they did, like, build, like a kind of a barn thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a roof, but it does look like a barn that you walk through. And there's some, like, really twisted scarecrows. Look at it during the day. It's easier to see the weird scarecrows that are, like... There's, like, one made out of, like, mannequin parts or something. It's really freaky.
Yeah, they're very strange. It's like they just kind of scooped up extra stuff and made scarecrows out of them.
And there's, like... fun. Corn on the Cob monsters and some other weird creatures you'll find in there. It was overall a cool scare zone, but yeah, like I said, this one's always also really congested, but it is really cool looking.
All right, so moving on to our second favorite, which was Graveyard Deadly Unrest.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what you think it is. It was a spooky graveyard. Mm-hmm. They had lots of really cool, like, sets with, like, mausoleums and tombstones and stuff like that. And a lot of the actors that were walking around were, like, some sort of, like, zombie or ghost or ghoul of some sort.
Yeah.
They did have some really neat ones in there. There was, like, a gargoyle. There was this...
He looked like a statue, yeah.
Yeah, there was this one that he actually... There was, like, a skeleton on top of his head, so it looked like he was really, really tall. But it was just this skeleton headpiece thing. It was really cool. I made this joke during the day because this is in that like a Hollywood area, and the Mystery Machine is always parked over there usually, and they always have the characters come out usually at certain times and hang out with people and stuff. And I thought it would be hysterical if they should have had the Scooby Gang out and about in this scare zone, because it probably would have been really funny, because it kind of fit that theming of Scooby Doo. Because it was, you know, a spooky graveyard and everything. And this was actually the Cary, Ohio scare zone as well.
We got to make it there sometime, yeah. We drove by Cary multiple times. I mean, nothing really is that fun that's in Cary, but just to actually go to Cary, Ohio would be fun. I also really liked the music that they played in it. It was probably some, like, Midnight Syndicate stuff.
Yeah, it was very spooky.
And, like, they had, like, it looked like a lightning storm, which, you know, they didn't have to fake it for most of our vacation in Florida. But that night, actually, thankfully, that was, like, the only night it didn't downpour, really, was our Halloween Horror Nights night. But every other night we were in Florida, my God. But
it was bad.
It's hurricane season there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they had, like, the lights to make it look like it was storming and just real cool atmosphere. I really liked that scare zone.
Yes.
But that brings us to our number one, which is Sweet Revenge. That's what it's called?
Sweet Revenge.
Yep, Sweet Revenge. This is probably my favorite scare zone that Universal's ever done that we've been to, not just this year, but ever. It was huge.
Yes.
It took, like, the entirety of, the, like, the New York section, like, all the way down the street, and they bring out, like, these big floats that they made.
Yeah. Just for the scare zone.
Just for the scare zone. And, like, I remember, like, no one even knew they were going to have that, because people were like, wait, are they having some kind of Halloween parade? And it's like, no, they made it just for that. So the theme of this one is it's a Halloween festival. And this, what's the name of the, do you remember the name of the candy company?
Major Sweets is the candy company, and he sponsors their annual Halloween festival. And it turns out that he tainted the candy, and it turns the children into homicidal maniacs. Yeah.
So it's just great. It's super spooky Halloween feeling, and there's, you know, like his kids and like these, there's so many actors in the scare zone.
Yes.
So many. And there's, like, the adults that are being hunted by the kids. Mm-hmm. And then there's kids in, like, you know, your real vintage, like, Halloween costumes. Like, things, like, with cat faces, like this guy here. There's, like, a guy dressed, one dressed up like a robot. Major Sweets himself is there, and he's gross.
Yeah, he had, like, the bulbous nose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty grody.
And he has this laugh right there. It kind of reminds me of Mr. Penguin.
Yeah.
Actually, from Batman, but... Yeah, just really good scare zone, and the actors there are super interactive, and like the adults sometimes will come and, like, you know, ask you to hide them from the kids and stuff, and it just keeps going, and there's just so many actors, and some of them like look like normal people as well, and then they'll, and like, so you think you're behind like just another patron to the event, and they'll turn around and scare you, and there's blood all over their face or something. Overall, just a really cool, huge zone, and it's also kind of matches the tribute store that's in that area as well. They said one of their goals was to bleed the store into
the
event itself.
The tribute store is made to be a dark ride.
Yeah, like, it looks like it's a dark ride.
Quite literally a fake track on the floor that you could, like, follow as you're walking through. And each room is a different scene and stuff. But at the end... It bleeds into the festival that's going on outside, which is the parade and the festival that's happening in the Sweet Revenge.
Yeah.
It was really cool how they blended everything together.
Yeah, really cool scare zone. Yep. All right, but that does it for our scare zones. Now we're going to get back to talking about the top five houses. And then probably at the end of the video, we will talk about some of the treats and stuff we ate at the event as well. So coming in at number 5 was the most infamous one this year that everyone was freaking out about when they announced it, which is called Bugs Eaten Alive.
It was, I actually enjoyed this one, despite the fact that it was bugs and it was very itchy.
It was gross. It was gross.
But it's basically you're going into a factory and like kind of like in the 1950s when they're always coming up with like new innovative ideas. And the idea is that it's an air conditioner, heater, and bug killer device. So it's like this thing that you stick on your wall and it's supposed to heat and cool and get rid of bugs. Well, of course, it doesn't. It actually spits out this gas that mutates the bugs, mutates people around it with the bugs, and just all havoc breaks loose in this factory that they're making this in. And it was interesting. They had like bugs just crawling everywhere, people turning into bugs.
There's like a hallway where you walk down. There's like all these little holes where like air would like shoot you like all over and stuff.
Oh.
A lot of fog like that was like lit green with a light to make it look like the gas, and they'd blow it in your face a lot.
Yes.
It's just real freaky, and there's just a lot of people with like those with like all those holes and stuff on their face. Yeah.
Tryptophobia, yeah, I think it's called.
Tryptophobia or something. Yeah, so if you have that, ooh. Mm. And obviously there's no real live bugs. People are scared there's going to be live bugs, which obviously there isn't going to be. It's universal. They're not going to put live bugs in there. But still, though, it's still pretty gross. And there's also, like, kind of funny big bug monsters.
Yeah.
The house is a little tongue-in-cheek. Like, it isn't... If you are, like, deathly afraid of bugs, it is going to be a nightmare for you. Yes. But I think that they wanted to take the edge off by making it a little bit silly as well. I mean, the concept kind of is kind of silly.
Like, it kind of reminds me of, like, the old movies from, like, the 50s and 60s that they made with, like, the giant, you know, the killer cockroaches.
Which is definitely what the kind of vibe they're going for.
Yeah, it's definitely like that vibe. B-horror movie, yeah.
But, yeah, we thought it was quite a bit of fun. I did get a few good scares in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but overall, yeah, it was a good house, and it might be higher if it just
if it wasn't bugs.
It's not something I'd want to go in over and over again, because it really does make you feel itchy, like she said, but yep.
So number 4 is Universal Monsters, Monsters Collide, which was a big focus on the Mummy, Dracula, and the Wolfman. But it was mostly themed Egyptian, so it was a big focus on
all of it was
the Mummy.
Yeah.
Because
you're in like because I think what they're trying to get is amulet. So the Wolfman and Dracula are in his tomb.
Yeah, they're trying to get to this amulet that will basically restore your life. So, of course, Dracula wants it because he doesn't want to be a vampire anymore. The werewolf wants it because he doesn't want to be a werewolf anymore. And the mummy wants it because he doesn't want to be a mummy anymore. So they basically are fighting to get this amulet. And
I think the amulet is what keeps the mummy probably alive, because the mummy has the amulet.
Yeah.
But it's just really like, it's really just being an Egyptian tomb. I kind of would have preferred if they wouldn't have even themed it with Dracula and the Wolfman, because those felt like such an afterthought.
It did. Yeah.
Now, every night, I guess there's a different winner. At the very end, there'll be like one monster holding another monster's head or whatever. Ours just wasn't working. Dracula was the winner, but he was just kind of standing in a dark corner.
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't have the prop, but our tour guide told us. He's like, well, usually they're holding their head, but and we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to the head. He didn't say anything because, he was just kind of standing there and he wasn't doing, because the sound even came on and he didn't come forward and, like, present himself as the winner or anything.
He was
even though he had
the
amulet and everything like that. But, it was kind of weird.
But it was cool. I liked the theming a lot. I'm a little tired of Universal Monster theming because they've done it, like, every year now for the last 3 years. But this really didn't feel like Universal Monster. It felt like
the mummy.
Because most of the scares were from different, like, mummies.
Yes.
The Wolfman and Dracula, I think, were there. I don't remember ever seeing Dracula pop out trying to scare me. I do remember the Wolfman once or twice. But
I saw Dracula once, and he did pop out at me. I saw the Wolfman twice. But yeah, it was mostly the mummy.
But the theme is just really elaborate, just a lot of like artifacts, and just really did feel like it kind of felt like the queue of the mummy ride.
It did.
Which we didn't think we were going to get to ride, but we did get to ride our very last day before we flew home there. So that was exciting. But yeah, it did remind me of the mummy's queue a lot. So if you like that kind of thing, that's basically what that haunted house is.
Yes. All right. Moving on to our number three house, which is Descendants of Destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is a post-apocalyptic wasteland kind of thing, where people are living, the earth surface is toxic. So everybody is living underground.
Mm-hmm. And like subway.
In the subways. And so we keep going further and further into the subways. And the further we get, the more chaotic it gets. So like you have like your like normal people, and then you have like your like cannibals, and then you have your like mutated people.
Yeah. It's very, very, Kim hasn't obviously, but if you've played the video game, the Metro series, it's literally that in house form. Because literally that video game is people that live in subway tunnels, and when they go up, they have to wear gas masks and stuff because there's all mutated creatures up there.
Yeah.
So it's literally that, but in house form. I can't imagine that they didn't think that when they were making this.
Oh.
But it had to be some kind of inspiration, I would imagine. But I really liked it. This was the first one we went to on our tour.
Mm-hmm.
We got quite a few good scares.
Yes.
It just did feel dark and just grungy and just, yeah, real atmospheric. A lot of like creepy noises and stuff, and like, you know, they have like big like subway cars down there that they've made.
Yeah,
overall it's just a really cool house. I've seen things kind of like it before, but still, I don't know, I just thought the way it was done was like the set design and everything was good, and it had one of the coolest facades as well. It had a really cool facade outside, like this one in this area usually does. It's one of the tent haunts, this one. Well, yeah, it was in one of the tents.
Yeah, it was in the same place that the puppet theater one was.
It was in the same, because the puppet theater had a cool facade as
I was just going to say that, because puppet theater had this really cool facade where you go into a theater. This one had, like, a really cool, like,
Is it a train station?
I think it was a train station that you were going into, and it was just a really cool, like, they always have a really nice facade at this one.
Yeah. But yeah, that one was a good one. And now we're into our top two. So number two we gave to The Weeknd. This was our most anticipated just because we are fans of The Weeknd.
Yeah.
And it did not disappoint. It was really good. And I'm hoping that this one kind of opens a door for like more houses like this, like musical artists. Like there was the rumor that Billie Eilish was going to have her own house in 2020, but then that fell through, and I guess they didn't have the rights for 2021. I don't know if that's 100% fact or not, but I know that was a pretty big rumor.
Yeah.
But yeah, this house really was like taking his music and music videos and just kind of making a house out of it.
Yeah. A lot of people were kind of upset about it because they're like, what's scary about The Weeknd? And it's like, well, you've obviously never seen his music videos, because a lot of them have little aspects of horror in them. And it's like, he is a huge fan of it. And you can tell, because there was a lot of really like strange things blended into this house. And it really fit really well.
Because a lot of it was really ripped out of his music video. I mean, there was more than just that, but it really was like taking the imagery from his music video and kind of keeping it that way, but then also warping it into something else. Like when you enter, it's like a mannequin that's like that was supposed to be The Weeknd, and he's like cooked up in this chair, and they have this hat with like tubes, so it's kind of like saying like it's like extracting his mind into this like nightmare, because it's also themed after because it's the full name of it's The Weeknd After Hours Nightmare.
Yes.
So it's themed specifically to the album After Hours, because that's where all these music videos are from. They don't really seem to touch on the music videos from his latest album, Don FM, which also has some pretty creepy stuff as well. So I wouldn't even be upset if there was a future house somewhere down the road that was to Dawn or something else. But very, the best, if I had to describe it in a couple words, it would be like a nightmarish dance party.
Yes.
Lots of flashing lights. I mean, there's even one point where you're walking down the hallways and there's all these like tubes, and it seems like the tubes are just filled with just light. And so there's like this really cool lit up hallway, the cool mirror maze that's kind of representative of what he did for the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Blinding Lights is playing through there, because that's what, you know, he was singing to. when that happened there. But yeah, overall, just a really cool and fun house. Good amount of gore as well.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, one of the scares that really got me was there's a decapitated weekend, and a girl came around the corner with his head and just scared the cream cheese out of me. She just like whipped around the corner and just put this head in front of me, and I was like, oh, okay. And that scared me. That was a good scare in that house.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was it was a good blend of horror and kind of like a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, too. There was a little bit of that, too. And
our tour guide told us one of the things that was cool, that it was one of the concepts that never happened, but they were going to have a live DJ playing outside of the house and then have an actual bar so you could get drinks while in line for it. They didn't end up doing it. But I thought that would have been a cool...
Yeah.
That would have been a cool idea.
They did have a weekend-themed bar with a special drink, but it wasn't in the queue line.
Yeah, it's not in the queue line. Most people seem to agree that that's the best drink of the festival. Yeah. Like, I've seen a lot of people, because it probably is the strongest one.
Yeah, it was
It's pretty strong. It's like a whiskey-based drink. But it was good. It was good. You should, if you drink, then I would highly recommend, if you try any of the drinks, trying the Save Your Tears at the weekend bar. It has fun little bobas as well.
Yes.
But now our number one, which I feel like is almost everyone's number one, which is Dead Man's Pier. And this is a sequel to a scare zone. Was it Dead Man's Wharf?
Dead Man's Wharf, I believe, was the scare zone. And this one is Dead Man's Pier, Winter's Wake,
I believe is the full name. Yeah.
And this was just beautiful.
Yeah, it was immaculately done. It had so much, I mean... Universal always does a great job. I mean, they have a ton of money, you know, that they can spend on this. But this really did look like something that you would see at, like, a pro-level haunt that, like, stays up every single year. You know, you walk in and, like, there's, like, a lighthouse off in the distance. You're, like, at, like, it's kind of like entering a winter town. There's, like, a fountain of, like, and then it has the violin player. Because that's, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole story is that...
The whole... What was it? The story is that... this widow of a sailor goes up to the lighthouse and plays her violin, and this magical violin brings back all the dead sailors into this town, and they basically just wreak havoc in this town. And so that's the premise, is you're coming into this lighthouse town, and all these ghouls are there. Just kind of doing whatever. Like some of them are just kind of like hanging out and drinking and whatever. Yeah. And then there's some that are like, you know, real monsterish and actually doing like bad stuff. But it just was.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff. There was a part where it actually rains on you a bit. They had these really cool people that were in like diving uniforms, and like you couldn't see their face, but a black light would turn on, shining on their face, and like, you know, then they looked all ghostly and stuff. Yeah. That was really cool. They had this really cool guy, like at the very end of the haunted house, that was on this like zip line wire, and he could like bounce from place to place and scare you at like multiple places and kind of like fly a little bit. That was really cool. They had like a whole ship in there. Just, yeah, it was a scene after scene of just so much detail. Not the scariest house, but it actually did have some pretty good scares as well, though.
I was going to say...
I got a couple times.
Oh, yeah. Well, the area that had the guy on the zip line, I was so distracted by him, I got hit twice on the other side by somebody, because I was like, what's going on here? What is that? And then it's blah, blah, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. but, yeah, I Beautiful and scary was probably the best way to describe it. It was just...
It was really good house, yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorites that they've done. I don't know if it's my absolute number one, but it's definitely up there in all the ones we've been... Yeah. I still really like the Poltergeist house from the first year, because it was so freaking scary.
Yeah.
That's probably still the scariest house. That one, and I forget the name of it, but there's one we did, I think it was the first year as well, that was almost in pitch blackness. That one is super scary as well. I don't remember the name of it, but it was one of the first ones we did. But, yeah, so I highly recommend, if you're able to check the event out this year. And again, I recommend getting at the very least Express. If you can afford it, though, I always say that RIP is the way to go.
Yeah.
They made a couple changes to RIP this year, which I think were the better, because it kind of was funny because Kim loves doing surveys, and they asked a lot of questions last year. And one of our complaints was, is like, they never gave us the option, because like years past, like 2019, we would go to a break and they would give us the option, like purchase pizza, fries and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year they didn't give us any option besides to buy drinks at, like, because you get like at least two breaks.
Yeah.
They didn't give us the option to like buy anything. And when you first start the tour, they tell you to get to, what is it? La Bamba's?
La Bamba's is 30, where you meet.
30 yeah. minutes early. And they do have like a little buffet. It's not a ton, but they have like free water, coffee, and food there for you. But they never give you enough time to eat it. They tell you 30 minutes, but then like your tour guide like gives you 15 and he's like, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, now it's like you show up and then when you're ready, you go outside and you go to
the Monster Makeup
Makeup, get in a line that has put you with someone. Yeah. So you have as much time as you want. And they actually had pizza fries there for you to eat.
Yeah.
And then you get, most groups get another break there again where they can go back and get more food of what's mm-hmm. available. When we went back the second time, it was later, so they just had desserts available.
Yeah.
But I thought that was nice because that food is free.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you pay for it with admission, but you don't have to pay again like you did before. So it really seemed like they must have taken people's criticisms
right there. Which is nice to know that they actually are listening to us when we're doing the surveys, because I do try to put a lot of detail into it and tell them, you know, this happened,
yeah.
you know, this I liked, this I didn't like.
So especially if you're doing an event like that, like I don't take surveys very often, but if you're doing an event like this, it is helpful for Universal in any place,
mm-hmm.
you know, to feedback, because these things are expensive, so you want to get your money's worth. And I do feel like they did a really good job this year with how they had that organized.
Yes.
Food was really good, I would say. What was your favorite thing that you ate?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man.
I really liked the wings. I forget what they were called, but they were at...
Oh, yeah, the spicy wings.
They have a ton of food booths this year, and a lot of it's good. But, yeah, they were like these spicy wings. You find it back at the meat section. It's, like, down that alley.
Yeah, there's, like, this weird little hidden alley. And they actually had it themed after the meats.
It's like fried chicken offals or something.
Oh, yeah, spicy chicken offals.
And then they also have one, I think it's like fried zombie brains, which is cauliflower.
Cauliflower with the same sauce, yeah.
That was really good. We also got rat tails, It was funnel cake fries with like this crab dip on top.
Mm.
That was good. Yeah, we tried a few things, but the chicken things I definitely recommend. Definitely recommend trying those out. And then I like the drinks. My favorite was the Save Your Tears, but I also really like the Electric Death.
Yeah.
I forget the one that you got. There was another one. We tried three different types of drinks.
Oh my gosh, I can't think of the name of it.
I don't remember it either. But those two are the best.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I think you should get. But there's a lot of food. Let us know what your favorite thing was if you've been down in the comments. And a lot of really good merch this year as well.
Yes.
Overall, just a really good event. I really enjoyed it this year, and it was so nice that the plexiglass is gone, because it really, really dampened some houses that would have been great last year.
Mm-hmm.
But you just can't get scared when you see plexiglass and you literally know there's going to be an actor there.
Right.
You know, and they can't hide when there's a big shiny piece of plexiglass. You're like, well, obviously there's going to be an actor that comes out of there.
Right.
But, so thankfully that crap's gone. And yeah, just overall a really good event. And we are also going to be having a video coming up for Howl-A-Scream Scream at Busch Gardens this year. We didn't do SeaWorld this year. We didn't have enough time, but we did do Busch Gardens in Tampa our first time. So we're going to have that, because it's only like an hour to an hour and a half away, depending on traffic, if you're in Orlando. So it might be something for you to consider. And then we also are going to have a review for Morta Manor in Kissimmee coming up as well. So we did those three things in Orlando. And then starting, the weekend after we film this, which is probably about when you'll be watching it, we're going to start going to the more local haunts and all of that stuff. And if you're curious where we plan on going this year, we have that video up as well. As always, like we said in the beginning, make sure you like and subscribe. Also, make sure you click the notification bell so you don't miss any of our upcoming videos, because obviously since it's haunt season, there will be quite a few coming up. It's going to be hard for me to be consistent on the days they come up, because when we used to go to like 3 to 5 places every weekend, I just kind of put them up when I get them done, try and get them done by the weekend. So if you're making plans, you can see them. But thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.